Okay, it's Thursday night again. It's 9:03 p.m. and it's June 14th. This is the discussion call. This is your call where you can express your views on any topic of your choice. NLA does not teach any topics here. This is an open forum, and the views expressed by the speakers here may or may not necessarily represent the views of the National Liberty Alliance. And with that, it's all yours. So whoever would like to make the first comment, nobody is muted, just speak right up.
Well, I guess I'll start out. The things that they're doing here in Peoria, you wouldn't believe. They're just passing things through committee, and they're taking more and more control away from the people and telling them that they can do anything they want to do.
As Jackie Gleason used to say, how sweet it is, huh?
Yeah, how sweet it is. Thank you, Jackie Gleason.
Yeah. Yep.
Are there many on?
Not too many yet. There's only about eight. I think we had more than that on the last call, and some of them might not have got back in yet. I'm surprised with all of the current events going on that nobody has any comments.
Oh, there's a lot of things going on, but there's... We know things that are going on that you haven't seen or heard up out on the television yet.
Oh, yeah. And may never see them on the TV.
They don't want the majority of people to know about it.
Nope.
Well, the man who, quote-unquote, had been the de facto sheriff for, I don't remember, 12 years, 15 years, something like that, retired, supposedly retired about 5 months ago, and he moved over to Washington, Illinois, and became the chief of police over there. And he was on the news tonight telling how he got involved in another organization, so he's getting double pay. And they're doing the same thing over in Washington that they've done all over, and the people are just losing their control over everything.
That's why it's critical that we get into the courts now and get people together here to fight this, because if we don't, it's going to be too late.
Well, I'm hoping that Trump is going to take this money and convert it back to the de facto or the de jure money, and get rid of this de facto money that they're play money that they're playing with, and that should stop a lot of this stuff.
You gotta wonder how it's gonna affect everybody.
Well, unfortunately, they got everybody scared to death that they're going to end up with less money all the time. Which is true, they
yep.
probably will, but they don't realize that the money has just been inflated so much that it's out in the boondocks. And if we get these judges knocked out of the quote-unquote safety area that they're playing that they're in, and they see that they can go to jail, I think that'll be very interesting, along with the sheriff. because a sheriff is not a sheriff. He never has been since, I will say, 1970 is when it started becoming so corrupt.
What made the difference? Why then?
Well, we had guys who became sheriff who weren't smart enough to blow their nose, but they liked to play like they were big shots. And they'd rush into a place and they'd start a fight, and they couldn't fight for love nor money. And the only way they could get by with something is to pull some shady deal. I went in on a fight in a tavern, and this particular guy was on the floor, and another guy's got him down, and he's just hammering him off. And his partner was trying to get him off. I walked over, and I grabbed the guy and picked him up. And he was a guy as big as I am, or maybe even a little bigger. And he was a politician, which I didn't know at the time. And anyhow, that guy ran for sheriff. He hocked his house. He hocked his car to get enough money to run for sheriff. But the best part of it is, if he even won the sheriff's job, he only got paid about $3,600 a year.
Yeah.
But he did get himself appointed. Now, this is how almost all these guys got into these offices. They got appointed first, and once they were in, they could control. But at that time, he could only be in for 4 years. And then he had to go out and come back in. Well, he never got in again. But he was a sheriff for 4 years. And, boy, I mean, he messed things up like you wouldn't believe.
Like a real politician, huh?
Oh, that's all he was. He was a – I'll go a bit farther. He was a bookkeeper for my cousin.
Hmm.
And he was juggling the books. I thought that was interesting.
Made a little extra salary there, huh?
Oh, yes. And I found that a lot of those guys that were sheriffs or deputies were working second jobs, third jobs. And most of them were in quote-unquote government.
There used to be laws against double dipping.
Oh. And they don't realize that when they're a sheriff that they're on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah. Which means they weren't, huh?
No, they couldn't be.
Yeah.
They would get off. Or if they wanted to do something, they'd just disappear out of the office, and who knew what they were doing. No, I knew a lot of, in fact, I got several of the guys on, and I later started regretting having done it. But after I got off, they got quote-unquote a union going. I thought that was interesting. And people have no idea that these unions were created by the company or the government to prevent the problems that they normally have when they don't have the union. I sure hope somebody else is coming on.
Yeah. Well, we have more people, but nobody's talking. They used to say the cat got their tongue, but I don't know who got it tonight. Well, we can always adjourn if there's nothing of interest coming up.
What I feel
this
like
is not a mandatory one-hour conference. This is a whenever people have questions conference.
What if I want to teach something?
Go ahead.
I was just asking her what for. I could open just about any of 100 books and start talking about it. Can I ask if anybody knows about QAnon?
Sure.
How many people know anything about QAnon? Now, a lot of times people will, they go on to anonymous boards like 4chan and 8chan, and they'll give their name. They'll be Flipper Anon or Mad Dog Anon. And they just they append Anon onto their whatever moniker they're using. And I'm wondering if anybody has heard about Q or looked into Q or how they feel about Q. And I'll leave the question there. Go ahead.
Or Q-universe.
Yeah, or Q-universe. That's a good one.
Or 24/7. Patriot Group.
Another good example.
Seems as how people are not too well informed.
Or they're being shy. I want to entertain an idea for everyone, and that is that this is your forum. This is where you can speak your mind. This is where you can espouse an idea. And I know that I have challenged people here. And I challenge for two reasons. One, if I want to clarify what they're saying so I can understand. And the other is when I think they're just giving out wrong information and they should correct what they're doing. So I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but you know, we need to bring back that idea that in a town square, you have to talk to people. You have to interact with people. And the left has gotten pretty good at shutting down any conversation by changing the language, labeling people, and accusing them by the use of projection. And for those who don't know what projection is, it's I'm doing something bad, but I'm going to accuse you of that thing because nobody will ever find out that's standing here. In our town square, and this is a mini town square, this is the NLA free conferencing room where we can talk about anything we want. It's not being guided by anyone. It's not being controlled by anyone. And when you talk face-to-face with somebody, you can't just throw out whatever you want to say and then walk away. You need to defend your ideas because you never know that somebody listening is wanting to hear what you say because they respect what you have said in the past, or they like your argument and they want to see how they... if they can find something that they can use to talk to their friends. So I think it's important to get this dialogue going. And I know Jan and I don't want to fill in the time, but I think that we, as the individuals in this mini NLA Times Square, town square, excuse me, should fill the time. So I made a comment. Does anybody know about QAnon? Now, I can't see you shake your head. And normally, I would look and I would get a bunch of blank stares and people shaking their head because they know nothing about QAnon. And then I'd go on. Well, maybe I would and maybe I won't. I want to know. Everybody needs a little bit of feedback. Everybody wants to know that they're being listened to, myself included. When nobody says anything, I say, okay, people aren't interested in that. So what is it you are interested in? Please take the floor. Thank you.
Terry.
That's me. Hi, Terry. I checked.
Yeah. Hey, this is Bob, Michigan.
Bob, it's always good to hear from you.
Yeah, well, QAnon, I passed it on. I've got about, 500 followers on Facebook. So I threw it on there and passed it on to all of them. Quite a bit of response. And there's a lot more people looking at it and listening to it. And then getting back to your other point about the square, the city square, I'm going to read something to you that I just put on tonight on Facebook. And it just goes this way. Hi, folks. A week ago, I had a meeting with the South Haven city manager about my property. Of course, you guys know that I've got a running battle with them in this state about property tax. Anyhow, at 451 Hubbard Street, having a land patent update with a real property, quotation, land, updated into a Lodium private property, duly recorded in 2016, which was never challenged in corporate statute, any court. Therefore, this changes the point of jurisdiction back into American jurisprudence. Exclamation point. I, myself, in parentheses, probably will be at the City Council meeting on the 2nd of July to present a few articles of law to THYE Council in open session under the Open Meetings Act. I probably will remind all of the city council that they are responsible for their actions under law, in parentheses, Constitution Law, 1787-89, even though their meeting is an illegal act. Time for the challenge. Later, me. So I think that might be an interesting meeting because I plan on giving each one of them probably about 90 pages of document. And then I'm going to have something in there for the sheriff to do. And that's going to be another story. So I just thought I'd like to interject that into your conversation tonight. So I yield.
Bob, Paul here.
Yeah.
You said the clause that it has to go back into American jurisprudence. Now,
right.
wasn't it always in American jurisprudence?
No, we're under corporate. Currently, we're under corporate through the Admiralty.
You mean South Haven is?
Every place in the United States is.
Okay, why?
Our Constitution has been set aside.
Right,
we're now
okay.
We're under corporate, okay, through the Admiralty, through the Queen of England, through the BAR, British Accreditation Registration, BAR. So that's where we stand today. That's why when you go into court, I don't even refer to a court anymore. I just say corporate jurisdiction because that's what it is, pure and simple. We don't have a court system anymore. Don't kid yourself.
Amen. And not only that, but all 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto have been entered into this de facto constitution that they're using.
Correct. And the latest one was written in 1999. It's called the North American Socialist Review.
Exactly. And the word socialist tells you right there that it's communist.
Correct.
Okay, so Bob, your reason that it's going back into American jurisprudence is because of the your grounds of a allodial title or what?
Yes, exactly. Private property, which private they do property. Not want to honor. If they honor private property, therefore there is no tax upon that property. That's the way it came down from the government to every state, and you really find it spelled out in the Northwest Ordinance, 1781. But, of course, everybody's at the trough under the corporate venue. These people don't work anymore. They're all on the take. Look at our Congress of the United States. They're all on the take. Let's not kid ourselves. So where are we going to go? Well, we better wake up. That's what we'd better do. And I think you're going to see some things coming down. I don't quite consider Mr. Trump an angel, but he's not that far away from it, in my view. And
amen.
I think you're going to see a lot of stuff coming down. The people are going to really be surprised, and a lot of them probably are going to get a vertical stripe from where the sun don't shine. Meaning jail. So be it.
Go ahead.
No, that's it. I yield.
Oh, I put all my properties under land patents, and the courthouse simply refused to take them. So I took them out to to Washington, D.C., I believe it was, and I recorded them out there. Mm-hmm. And never heard any more about them. They just not respond to anything.
No, but you've got another avenue, and this is the avenue I'm going to take. I haven't said much about it. A few people in NLA know what a good idea to do, and that is simply this. Every county, 3,133 counties in the United States, excluding, wait a minute, before I say that, Alaska and Hawaii are under the Omnibus Act, so I don't know if they're included, but I think they are. But anyhow, that's another whole different bag of worms. In every county, you have a top law enforcement officer who sits above any bar judge, any bar attorney, any bar prosecuting attorney, anything to do with a bar, anything to do with admiralty law. He is over all of them. That is your sheriff. Now, I just wrote a document. I haven't got over and got it recorded yet, but that's my next step. It's called the common law lien on my property with my land patent on it. But I took my real property on the land patent update and converted that into what's called allodium private property, and that states it right there. They can't get away from it. In other words, usually it says real property. A lot of that came out of a few law places a few years back when land patents were going hot and heavy back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And there was a lot of mistakes in them. That's one of them, as far as I'm concerned. So I'm going to force Mr. Sheriff, convene a common law grand jury in a common law court under common law statutes and common law rules. Not common law statutes, excuse me, common law rule. And he'll have 30 days to do it, otherwise he's going to waiver. And I'm already writing the default for that. So that's what I'm going to do. How successful? I don't know. But I think it's going to be awful interesting. And that's why I wrote what I did and put it on Facebook tonight. And that is where this is going to go. I'm going to start with a city council right here in my own backyard. And then I'll go to the county. And then I probably will inform the sheriff, the prosecutor, the attorney general for the state of Michigan, and the governor of illegal activity going on in my county, illegal taxation. And then we'll see what happens. So once you start it, be prepared to take it on through. Use your thought process. Everybody's got it. If you got it educated, it'll serve you well. Don't be afraid.
Only if you've got a sheriff that is, quote-unquote, a legitimate sheriff. And if you got a crooked sheriff, you're not going to get anywhere.
Well,
that's what we got.
Well, he's in bad behavior then, isn't he?
Yes, but who are you going to take it to? And they're all in the same way. I have taken this. I have taken this to offices and gone through the complete program the way that it's supposed to go through, and they all just totally ignore it.
Well, have you tried the notice that you've got illegal activity, racketeering going on in your county, send it to the sheriff?
You've got to be kidding. I've been doing this for 50 years now, I've tried everything.
But have you done that?
Have I done what?
Have you gave them lawful notice?
Yes, I gave lawful notices, and they just totally ignore you. And then I'll tell you, I've had people under my quote-unquote wing, and I've had four of them murdered. I've had two attorneys who have had threats on them. Both of them left Peoria. One went back to Chicago, and the other one went to California to get away from this outfit. I had a man who was my quote-unquote He was working directly with me, and he went to in fact, I took him to Colorado. He had to go out there for a physical, and they murdered him right after I left him. I came back to Pure, and I told him, I'll call you tomorrow morning and let you know, or tonight before you go to bed, and I'll let you know that I got home all right. So I called him, and I didn't get the answer. He's on a cell phone, which is not unusual in Colorado. There's certain spots out there you get that you have no connection.
Right.
So I thought, well, I'll call him in the morning. So I called in the morning, no answer. He was staying with a gal, and I called, and she answered the phone, and she said, he's laying in bed and he's turning yellow. I said, if he's laying in bed and he's turning yellow, call the fire department, get some oxygen in him, they might be able to save him. I can't do that. I said, get your ass off the telephone and call the fire department and get some oxygen in that man.
Mm-hmm.
I hung up on her.
Mm-hmm.
She called me back an hour later. I can hear the sirens coming now after an hour of waiting. And I have the feeling, and I don't know this, and I don't know if I'll ever be able to prove it, but I have the feeling the guys who had killed him had her under their power. And they said, if you say one word, you're the one going to go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to her two or three times and never got anywhere with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Many of these guys are being killed, and unfortunately, there's not a thing we can do about it.
Well, like I said, I think things are going to change.
I agree.
And
I can't wait.
Well, I don't think you're going to have to wait very long.
I don't either, and I'm hoping it's going to be real quick. And like I said last night, I hope that Trump puts this de facto money into process, because once he does that, then all of this fake money that they got out there going through everybody's hands is going to be worthless.
That's going to put all
these guys who are recording these offices making these big bucks now, going to put them right behind the eight ball, because they won't have anything worth anything.
That's right. I agree. That's why.
Well, Bob, with your deal there.
Yeah.
What if the sheriff defaults? Then what is your next step after that?
If the sheriff defaults?
Yes.
I'm going to write a default on him.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to take that, and I'm going to enter it with his name. I already got one wrote up. I wrote one up a year ago, in which I make the sheriff and the attorney general and the governor aware of racketeering going on in my county and in their state. And then I name all three as the party doing the racketeering. And then you're going to say, well, what are you going to do with that?
Yeah, I was going to say that, actually.
Then I'm going to write an affidavit, another one, and put that in it and get it recorded. And then guess where it's going to go? DOJ.
I got a letter from the DOJ just 2 days ago, and I think it's quite interesting the way it was written. It said that they were putting more taxes on me and not to contact the IRS. So I tried calling the Department of Justice, and all they do is refer me back to the IRS. I've been through this route so many times, it just gets maddening.
Well, I'm sure. I'm just a beginner.
Unfortunately, most of you are, and I'm not picking on you because of that, because I want you to know what you're up against. And I do know that we have the papers. Well, now, I got most of my, or some of my papers. I got the land patents and so forth. I still got them, but they have gone through all my papers. When they take me out of my own house and so forth, they go through everything, and they take what they want. And they've taken guns. They've taken everything from me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm living right now just one block away from the last house that I've owned since 1973. Everything I had was paid for.
Yeah.
So I got the land patents on it. And many of these properties that I have land patents on belong to people in my immediate family.
Uh-huh.
My grandfather, great-grandfather, and great-great-grandfather. And
sure.
I got nothing.
Well, how many years ago did you lose your property?
Well, the last property I lost has been a year and a half ago. That's
okay.
The one I was living in, and I told my youngest son, because he was the only one born there, I said, this house is yours. I wanted him to know that was his home. And he's quite upset because they took it away from us.
All right. Well, you still have got another option.
That's what I'm depending on. When this thing is all straightened out, it'll all come back.
Well, until it does, might I suggest this to you? Why don't you transfer your land patent, do an update on it, put it into his name?
They low into the courthouse won't touch it.
The heck with the courthouse. Go to the register. Get it reported.
Well, that's why I took it out to, Washington, D.C. It was Philadelphia. That's where I got it brought up to date, transferred it over. I took it down to the courthouse and tried to get it recorded, and they just simply wouldn't touch it. And at that time, I still had, I'll say, some respect for the people working in the courthouse, but now I have none.
Right. I understand. So, here's another wrinkle for you. Why don't you try get a DBA? Get a corporate name and sign it on your proper name.
I don't have any respect for the DBAs for the simple reason they're nothing but another quote-unquote corporation.
Well, you're correct. That's what it is, but put it to your advantage.
I have a suggestion.
Hello, Vicki.
Hey, hi. Okay, I have a suggestion, and it might be an alternative thing that you hadn't thought about doing yet, but since all law is contractual, even going back to the Garden of Eden, there was only one stipulation, don't eat of that tree, okay? And they broke that. One did, and the other was an accessory, and it was breached. That contract was breached. When our ancestors came to this country, many of them who came before 1913, did yours come before 1913?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so if they came before 1913, all right, to this country, they came and they offered their full faith and credit, and they bargained for a life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, correct?
Right.
Okay, got it. All right, so life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness has to do with jurisdiction. Okay, that's life, the jurisdiction of life. There was two options based in the 1776 declaration, and that was to dissolve the political bands, either stay under the political bands or dissolve them, and then to assume amongst the powers of the earth separate and equal station to which we're entitled. And that includes landmass. And we went through last week and we found out that land was anything they wanted it to be, basically, right? So where I'm going with this is that because all law is contractual, and what they bargained for, our ancestors bargained for when they came to this country was life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In return, they would give their full faith and credit. Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution says that nothing but gold and silver is to be used to tender debt.
Right?
Right? Okay,
right,
got that. Okay, and there shall be no ex post facto laws or bills of attainder. Bills of attainder are now called pains and penalties. That's 13th Amendment stuff. There shall be no involuntary servitude, comma, except if duly convicted of a crime within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. And Congress is composed of what? Reconstructed political bands, right? It was the Whigs and the Tories in 1776, and today it is the Democrats and the Republicans. The Whigs and the Tories connected the people to the Bank of England. Today it's to the Federal Reserve System since 1913. So that being said,
you know, there may be a way that you can put your paperwork in that the contract has been violated, it's been breached by them who are no longer paying the judges or anybody else, basically, legislators or whatever. They're paying them with a foreign coin. They are breaching the contract right and left, especially that Article 1, Section 10 that, you know, is for the states and the people therein.
Right. You're absolutely
I'm just,
the other part of that, Nikki, is this. All money derives out of the World Bank.
Well, we are the creditors because since silver was taken out of the coin, we have been bonded. They owe us. We have to remember
who
we are.
Exactly.
They seized all the gold and silver in 1933 on the Bank Act, the Holiday. And that was put in by our Congress.
Correct.
So
reconstructed political
they're
band.
All at, yes, they're all at fault.
Exactly.
So there's one way to do it. You got to get it back into American jurisprudence. Once you get it back into that, then that's where the power is.
That's right. But all law is contractual, so look at the contracts that they've breached. And most of them are right there in Article 1, Section 10. If they'll breach one, they'll breach them all.
Well, there's two ways to spell law, capital L and lowercase l.
And they're lying, okay. They're stealing, they're cheating, they're coveting.
Yes.
Yep.
There you go. Yep, exactly.
And they haven't done full disclosure on which God we pledge our allegiance to. Is it Mammon or is it Yahweh?
They're going for Mammon.
I hear you. I hear you. So ask them the question, you know. When you pledge allegiance to that flag, which God are you, you know, referring to? Anyway, with that, I will yield and enjoy. I'll listen.
Well, I'll
have a good one.
This, Nikki, we're heading that way. It's not going to be too far.
Yeah, and actually I am too, because I'm going to be filing papers tomorrow, you know, that is going, you know, exactly for this because of some of the issues here, including the American flag, which was seized and not given back to me. So that, you know, tells me right up front that either they're willing or they're stupid. I don't know. So
do
I'm going to find out.
Do you know where the American flag came from? Bessie Ross. And
right here
Bessie Ross made that American flag, but there was a flag before that which is flying on the Coast Guard cutters, and the stripes go vertical, not horizontal.
Right.
And that's the flag.
But remember, that was the revenue ships. They were all for the money people in order to, you know, to do what they do to, you know, under the Navigation Acts. So be careful of that. That is not a peace flag. That is, it looks more like a revenue flag. We're going to, you can come into our ports, but we're going to revenue you. You know, under our way of fudging contracts. I'm sorry, but I just wanted to throw that into your frame of thinking and you know, frame of reference that it may come in handy sometime. Okay.
Yeah, it's very interesting. In where I live, our river flows into Lake Michigan, and our town sits right on the shore of both bodies. And at the top, I want to say maybe 400 yards away on top of a hill sits a tank. at the American Legion. I think we could have a lot of fun with that, baby.
Well, have fun. I'm going to mute.
Okay. I yield.
Hey, Bob, I came in late, and I was wondering you about that action that you're going to file, I think it's with the sheriff, and you said it was on Facebook, and I was wondering, how do I find that? What's that under?
Oh, I just, well, what I wrote, I wrote, and then I put it on there tonight, just go into Facebook and put my name in.
And what is your name?
Robert. And
mm-hmm.
The last name is, well, you can put in Robert for Change. And it should
Robert
call,
for Change, okay.
Yeah, C-H-A-N-G. It should show up.
All right, let me check it out. Thanks, I yield.
Okay. I yield too.
Well, I have a little bit to say if nobody else wants to, and I will defer to anyone else who wants to talk right now. In the absence of anyone else, I'd like to refer to The Excellence of the Common Law, written by Brent Winters. And one of the things that I found in there, section 3.8.2, page 318, goes on for several ways. And I just want to read one paragraph, if I may. Any objections?
No, have at it.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Although no longer known as the divine right of kings, demagogues have continued to use civil law to afford themselves absolute power to do atrocities such as did Hitler and his Nazi regime. And as has Stalin and his communist state. Moreover, in civil law nations, even as the state's agents multiply the state's abuses of power, the civil law extends to them the ruler's immunity. In a word, obedience to the orders of the semi-deified state, whether embodied in a chief executive or a legislature, or both, is a supposed safe harbor against the accusation of crime and the suffering of its penalty. And there's a footnote, and it goes down here. Unlike common law countries, this is footnote 798 on page 330. Unlike common law countries and civil law states, obedience to the state in the person of the emperor legislator, a combination of persons as legislature or, as in Nazi Germany, Hitler as chief of state, is an affirmative defense to any crime, no matter how heinous. An affirmative defense admits the facts of the accusation, but adds new facts that, if true, defeat the allegations. Therefore, in the principles of civil law, anyone accused of war crimes during World War II could have successfully pled his affirmative defense, admitting that the allegation of acts done are true, but then adding that those acts alleged are not crimes because he did them in obedience to the state's orders given to him through his military superiors. Such an affirmative defense succeeds under traditional civil law because civil law recognizes no law above the will of the state. One's political or military superior form, from which there is no appeal. Thus, the civil law tradition prohibits conviction for obeying state power. To refuse to recognize, as does civil law, law above the state to which men must take heed and can of right appeal, is to accord the state attributes of deity, even if never proclaimed as such. Now, it goes on and on. But what I wanted to say was, in the beginning, we said, well, Trump's doing a really great job. I think he is, and I appreciate if he continues. But my test for what he continues to do, or if he takes a left turn in the wrong direction, is will he uphold the sovereignty of the people? So far, I believe he has. But it is so easy for people to say, they look at how the situation is and say, make it stop, and give away powers, give away freedoms. I don't want that to happen in the U.S., and I think Trump's on the right road. But my test for Trump is if he starts abusing the rights, the unalienable rights that we are guaranteed. And I'm you get my age and words go away. I'll leave it there. Thank you very much.
Hey, Terry, what book is that you're reading from? You mentioned Brent's book. Which one is that? And do you have the page number on it?
I was reading mainly from page 330 in The Excellence of the Common Law by Brent Winters. So Excellence of the Common Law, page 330. The paragraph actually starts on 329, and then it's footnoted in footnote 798, and I read the first two paragraphs of footnote 798.
Okay, great.
Did I answer your question?
Yep.
Okey-doke.
It's Paul here. I also have Brent's that book, plus I have his Bible on DVD. I ordered the book Bible 2 years ago. I have not got it yet, but he did send me the DVD of the Bible. And one of the main reasons why, of course, he did it for himself for 40 years. He translated the Bible for his own use as it applies to common law. But the reason why he brings out in this Bible now is he wanted to refute the teachings of the King James Version due to the fact King James demanded that all of his translators adhere to the divine right of kings doctrine. And Brent's purpose was to root that doctrine out of the Bible, because as anyone knows who's got their eyes open, churches today are all proclaiming that we have to obey the state and the authority over us, whereby the preachers back in before the Revolutionary War, if you study that history, those preachers were banging on their pulpits of liberty. King George was breaking all his promises in his charters. And it took 10 to 15 years before the critical mass was there that the people said, enough is enough. And if you study the history, it really gets a fire in your bones. Because Brent brings out a lot of this stuff in his Bible, too. He's got 13,000 to 14,000 footnotes in that Bible. It's over 3,000 pages. So it's very informative for the times that we live in today. I recommend everybody buying it. Although it is pricey, but it's a lot of information. I don't think we'll ever see another one. Now you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, Terry. The only thing I was going to add to what you said was this. I look at it a little differently, and I think the day the President Trump, and he can do this, and he can, well, it wouldn't be very nice, but he could trap all judges and attorneys, prosecuting attorneys, the whole bunch, all of the bar. He could trap them real easy. And in that one that I'm writing that I wrote, I hadn't just issued it yet in the common law land patent lien. What I'm doing with that in there, I put a section in there about the FARA 38, which requires all people, and this includes bar, attorney, judges, and a whole bunch of them, they must register as foreign agents. If they are not, then they are waging war against the United States Constitution. And I'm waiting for Mr. Trump to throw them all in jail. I think it's going to be very interesting what's coming down the pike, because this man is learning every day. And you're going to see a little blow up, I think, my own personal opinion, with Rosenstein, with Sessions, with Mueller, the whole bunch. I think they're all going to occupy a little space down in Gitmo before it's all done. I yield.
Good point, Robert. Thank you.
Well, here we are at the bewitching hour again, and we're at a natural break, so I'm going to turn off the